This Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron catch-up is like a little treat for your ears.
And with WhizFizz,
it's okay to have a treat or once off on a special occasion to share the moment.
It's not a party without WhizFizz.
Only yesterday, we were reliving and talking through the terror that happened in London 48 hours ago, that horrific terrorist attack. And then last night to see our own city, one of our suburbs, and a suburb that you certainly wouldn't expect a terror attack to occur in, Brighton, under siege. Now, you would have heard Nikki's been talking about this in the news. A Somali gunman, 29, he was shot dead by the police. It was an ISIS-inspired attack. We know that he rang the Channel 7 newsroom and said, "This is for IS and Al-Qaeda." He was shot dead by the police. He has killed one man. He was holding a female hostage. He's injured three police officers. And this was all happening in Brighton. Fev, far too close to home.
Yes, very close to home. And did not get much sleep last night, Boxy.
I bet you didn't, Fev.
When it's in, across the other side of the world or, somewhere that's not where you live, you're like, oh, that's really sad, and you watch it. But when it's around the corner from your house, ooh.
Scary.
Yeah, it was very scary. All the kids slept in our room last night.
Oh, I know.
I reckon I checked the doors a couple of times, even though, you know, nothing's going to happen because he'd been shot dead. But very scary. Boxy, very, very scary, especially when it's on in your back door.
It's happening far too often, and it's getting closer and closer to home. Now, we do have somebody on the line who wants to stay anonymous, but he was in Brighton last night, witnessed this, in fact, filmed it from just down the road. Are you there, anonymous caller?
I'm here, guys.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing what you witnessed last night and appreciating that you want to stay anonymous. Can you talk us through what happened, everything you saw?
Look, guys, it's through waking up this morning, it's scary. It's knowing that it's actually terrorism. Last night, we assumed it was maybe the drug guys down the road that live there, or it's a service department. But look, I left work at about 5:30 just down the road, and saw the helicopters and all Bay Street and the Nepean Highway were shut off. We were sending emails to each other in the office to avoid the area, and I went home to get changed before I went for dinner and ran upstairs with a friend. And everything was, there was SWAT cars and all sorts of cars that you usually wouldn't see if it was a suicide or something a little bit less obvious. But we're sort of standing there, and about 10 minutes later, the machine guns went off, which was the most terrifying part of all, because it was so loud that it felt like it sort of struck us standing there on Bay Street.
Well, you took a video recording of it. We've got the audio from the video. Let's have a listen.
Everyone inside now! Everyone get inside now! Everyone get inside now!
Oh, my God.
Everyone get inside cold now!
Whoa, that must have been absolutely terrifying.
We didn't think it was, like Fev just said earlier, like I know we all live in Brighton, and you don't think it's going to happen here. You just say, yeah, it happens overseas and that's really sad. But when it happens, not only in your suburb, but 100 metres away from your house, it's just not cool. It's really not cool.
Mate, I'm not sure if you you know what happened early, but with normal terror attacks, especially overseas, they're trying to get the most carnage they can get. But this just seems like it was one person that had died in the apartment, and there's rumours that a bomb must have gone off.
I was at a meeting earlier and I heard that was the case. Everyone just said, look, there's an explosion that's gone off in Bay Street. And we're all like, oh, well, it might be just it could have been anything. And then I saw all the police down at the Brighton Spinal Group, which is, some of us go there. And I thought it might have been just an oxygen tank or something that had blown up. That's what we're all assuming. And that's the scary part. It's like, why would terrorists not only go to that apartment but come to Brighton? It's just really unusual, and it's very scary.
Well, it is. It doesn't
make sense.
No, and thank you for sharing that and appreciating how scary that is, because you live down the road from what happened. And some things that we, you know, need to talk about, Fev, and obviously more will come to light across the day. In fact, 131060, if there's anybody else who either saw anything, lives in the area, or just generally feels the fear and it's getting closer. Because I can say, Fev, I was driving to it this morning and I stopped at the lights and I'm like, are the cars around me? What's going to... You start to... Terror does.
Yeah.
Terror, it becomes part of you. And we all say, don't let them win, don't let them win. But when it's happening in our suburbs, and this guy, I just want to point out, he was, and we know this, one of the five men charged with planning a terrorist attack on the Holdsworthy Army Barracks in Sydney. So he was cleared of those charges, but he was jailed for 3 years for carrying out a drug-affected home evasion in Melbourne in 2011. We're getting to zero tolerance. Yeah, I don't know if that, am I just the one thinking that?
Well, I don't get it, Boxy. If you're on a watch list for terrorism, I should say, whatever nationality you are, if you're Australian, you're Muslim, you're English, you're American, if you're on a watch list, you shouldn't be here.
I know. Well, see, this is the thing. They were saying he was on a watch list but low risk. But we do keep hearing this.
But if you're on that, it seems that every single thing that happens, oh, we had him on a watch list. Well, you're not watching it that well then, are you? Mm. What are they doing on that?
And I think a lot of it comes down to resources, which is even scarier, is we may not have the resources to watch everybody that's a potential problem. So there's a whole discussion around how much we should put into all this, and I think the community would say, a lot. Let's invest a lot into this. But
we can't. We've gone from Manchester to London. Mm. Now we're at Brighton. It is becoming enough's enough, and we need our politicians to start talking. Well, we need some leadership here.
The politicians, instead of building new bloody bridges and roads and tunnels, put the resources into keeping us safe.
I'd rather sit in
traffic for 3 hours and worry about my life. Mm.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
In the wake of the Manchester and London terror attacks, to have things get this close to home in Brighton last night, a gunman claimed to be acting for IS, Islamic and Al-Qaeda, scary, an ISIS-inspired attack, three police officers injured, he was shot dead, and another man was killed. And
in all this, Boxy, you can think how courageous our police force and paramedics are. Like, he's come out charging and shooting, and they're there to protect us, and they've copped bullets. It's
unbelievable.
Heroic. It's just like, poor.
Well, it is. And what we're really starting to become aware of, and there's, you know, we know we've got a judicial system for a reason, and we know that he was cleared of planning a terrorist attack on the Holdsworthy Army Barracks in Sydney, and he's been up on other offences, and he was on the terror watch list, but he was considered low risk. Oh, gee, we're hearing that too much. And I think what we are now is we are scared, and I said my experience this morning coming to work, it's early, the wee hours of the morning, the dark, and you start looking around you, and we're all looking around us. And now, Fev, you live in Brighton, around the corner from you.
Yeah, it's own backyard, and it's obviously the terrorism's big now because it's in the forefront of our minds. But you look at the judicial system and people that have assaults on women or have been charged for something and they get let out on bail, but then they commit another crime. We've seen that with the Jill Mart. Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
We need some leadership now, and we really need to take action because this is our country. These are our children. This is our safety. And we've said 13, 10, 60. Let's test the temperature of Melbourne. How do people feel about what's happened overnight? David in South Morang. Hi, David.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, David. Scary times, though, aren't they?
It is. I've got a 9-year-old son that I'm going to be taking to the soccer this Friday. There's a big international game on. And I'm just too scared to. I just don't know what to do.
I bet, David. I to be honest, I think I'm even thinking about holidays at the moment. Don't really want to leave the country.
Yeah, you're spot on, Dave. And
leave your house.
No, and I commentated the footy on Saturday night. It was North Richmond. And I went into Etihad, and as I drove in, I think I spoke about the MCG a couple of weeks ago, I had people frisk me and metal detector and my car, and I've never had that at the footy before. And then it made me think, if I'd have just drove in, I wouldn't have thought about it. But when I was sitting in there and I'm thinking, geez, you get scared. Think, well, it shouldn't happen, but it might. Mm. And it's like, and I'm pretty reluctant to take my kids to any concerts, and we are going to go overseas, and it's like, oh, do I go overseas, or do we just sit at home and do nothing? But then the terrorists win and then you're not doing anything.
Well, but the terrorists guys, are really scary.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Fief, I mean, it is a ridiculous position to have to be in for David to be thinking like that. But I suppose what we saw, well, I know what we saw in Manchester yesterday was the exact opposite of that. And look, you wouldn't begrudge anyone for not taking their kid to the soccer. That's their choice. No. But I suppose you have to, in the perfect world, just keep doing what you do in numbers, in mass, and just keep at it.
I don't know anymore, Byron. I actually don't know that you have to. I don't know that I would.
Well, you don't have to, no. You don't have to. It's your choice.
I don't think I would go to a stadium at the moment. I certainly wouldn't take my daughter to a stadium.
Especially between two European giants playing soccer at the MCG, 100,000 people.
Scary. Fadilla in Brighton. Hi, Fadilla.
Oh, hi. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yeah, I live in Brighton. It was a bit scarier last night. But I'd just like to say there's obviously a flaw in our legal system. This guy was on bail, involved in terror. Let's just send them back home. We don't need these people here.
Do you know what, Fadilla, more and more people are calling for this. And it's a really interesting time, isn't it? And I would imagine there are lots of politicians sitting in meetings at the moment, and somebody like Pauline Hanson, I think she was the only one who came out and spoke yesterday, and you could tell what she was saying was resonating. And you start to think, we need, somebody needs to act, and we need to do something.
And Fadilla is exactly 100% right. It's not being racist. It's not saying this is right and this is wrong. If you're on bail for terrorist-related charges and you're on a watch list, you're gone. See you later. You don't need to be in our country.
Yeah, so any activity that got you onto a watch list is unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
I think you'd be struggling to find anyone who... I don't think so either, Fev. And I think even the most liberal lefty would struggle to disagree with that.
And why don't they do it, Byron? Are they scared?
I don't know. I think we're crying out for leadership. I think Fief nailed it with that. So plenty of calls we could go all morning, Fief.
Is this breaking news? We've just heard that ISIS have claimed responsibility online for that attack in Brighton. So they've now claimed that. So that's official. Mm.
Right. Well, I mean, I suppose to play devil's advocate, they could claim something that they weren't involved in,
but who
would dare argue? Either way, people aren't feeling safe, and we appreciate all of those calls.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Guys, you may not be aware of this, and I'm bringing to the table a news story that is a travesty, in fact, for food lovers around Australia.
Oh.
Oh, dear me. I need you to know that another Sizzler store has been closed down.
Oh, the humanity! I thought they closed down with Barnacle Bill.
No, they're still around. They're still around. In fact, let's be honest.
Let me turn up the emotional music.
I know where this Sizzler is on the... So when you get your land at Coolangatta and you drive into the Gold Coast, I reckon it's on the left there somewhere.
Well, maybe it is, Anna.
Of course you knew.
South, you're right. It's the latest in a long line of Sizzler shutdowns. The Toowong restaurant, that's closed in April. Jeez. Sizzler Cogra in southern Sydney closed down. And look, they have come out, the people who own these restaurants, and they've said, look, no, we just want to make it very clear that Sizzler is not exiting Australia. But they have admitted they're no longer investing in the group. That, to me, says you're closing Sizzler.
Gone.
Sizzler's part of our past, guys, our history. I wouldn't have got through uni
without
cheese,
there.
Bread, and all-you-can-eat dessert.
Oh, tell me about it.
I had a 10th birthday.
Fev, talk us through
it. Well, we went there because it was cheap, and we didn't have much money, so we can get as many as we wanted there. And it was all-you-can-eat. So we went in there sort of lunchtime, so it'd roll into dinner style. And the bread that you get at the start, you know,
cheesy
the bread?
Oh,
my God.
Cheesy bread.
But the problem is you'd eat all that, but then you couldn't eat the proper food.
No.
And then you just get underneath. And when you're 10 and you've got a birthday party, you just put your mouth underneath the soft serve.
Yes,
I've got to be honest. I'm starting to see where the wheels fell off, if I've got to be honest.
Oh, well,
your 10th
really?
Birthday. We can't afford to live like this, guys. Can't push it. But I understand it.
It was like $7.95 all you can eat for kids.
And Sizzler.
You get a free trough drink and you get refills.
I reckon Sizzler was the first place my friends and I would hang out. Like, we were about 14, 15, and it'd be a weekend.
How did your mob go hanging out with the riffraff?
We were out on Maroondah Highway in Croydon. There was a Sizzler right next to the McDonald's. And we'd all meet there at like 7 o'clock on a Saturday night. Our mums would drop us off. And
you'd sneak off somewhere else?
No, or the Pizza Hut next door.
Yeah. How'd you sneak the goon in?
No.
You would have been a Smorgies person too, wouldn't you?
No, I was. I went to Smorgies a couple of times, but Sizzler is part of my
Sizzler,
past.
In fact, what was the jingle?
You know, we've got it here. Can we play it?
Oh, we got it?
Yeah,
you're kidding me.
Magic Man Dan, I reckon he can play that.
The old Sizzler jingle.
Yeah, the old Sizzler commercial. In fact, 131060, right now, this is a sad day. Anyone else who'd like to ring in with their Sizzler memories? Some of your favourite meals, some of your favourite outings to
Sizzler.
Well,
if anyone out there makes that bread, send it in.
Cheesy bread. This was the Sizzler commercial.
So, where to for lunch tomorrow? How about Paris? Paris? For lunch? I don't want to spend a lot of money.
The steak, seafood, salad, Sizzler.
That is a shame. That is a bloody shame.
Oh. Why go to Paris? I mean, you had it all there.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
If you were growing up in Melbourne in the 90s, you'll be very familiar with Sizzler restaurants and a very sad day because another Sizzler store has closed. This is the third that's closed down in Queensland. I don't even know if they're here anymore.
They're not in Melbourne.
They've left.
They're no Victorian.
They exited our city, guys. Sizzler, the all-you-can-eat dessert bar. I mean, is there another restaurant with an all-you-can-eat dessert bar?
Well, people wonder why Nikki and I aren't married. Well, I mean, that was going to be reception, wasn't it?
There's only a few stores left in Australia before.
I would have been happy,
I'd come just for the bread. All-you-can-eat ice cream, no bar tab.
Oh, mate, the only thing that always threw you off with Sizzler was that, because my brother, I remembered, we had one in Geelong. He got really excited and didn't eat in order, like the way that you should. Possibly have your savoury first and then your sweet. He was just having soft serve ice cream, the thick bread, bit of pasta, back to the soft serve. That did not end well.
That's the beauty of it. See? These are the memories, guys, and this is the mourning process. And we have other Melburnians that are keen to share their memories of Sizzler.
You would have gone straight to the ice cream.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's all I went for, dessert bar. We were at uni out at Clayton Monash and there was a Sizzler around the corner and we just go there straight for dessert bar every lunchtime.
It's the best.
Part of my life. It's gone. I've
never seen you this emotional, Boxy.
Melissa in West Meadows. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Oh, Melissa, it's the end of an era. Do you have any good memories of Sizzler before it passes?
Yeah, when I was in primary school, we used to have a readathon and we'd get a voucher for reading a certain amount of books. And I flogged the whole voucher book when I was in primary school. So I ended up getting a free small pizza and a free all-you-can-eat dessert voucher every day for a month.
Yum.
Wow. I mean, not great for the readathon, but you just love Sizzler that much. Melissa, I get it.
The good old readathons. Never did one of them.
No, I didn't imagine you would have. No.
Never saw that coming.
Joanne in Mill Park. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, Joanne. Now, you used to work at Sizzler.
I used to work at Sizzler when I was 18. Oh,
you're a hero.
Oh, Joanne.
I created your cheese bread.
Did you?
Actually,
let's get to serious business before we reminisce. How do you make cheesy bread?
Oh, I can't give out the recipe, but I can tell you, Fev, if you go to the supermarket, you can buy it. It's called Cheesy Parmesan Totes.
Well, I was going to say this earlier, Joanne, but I thought Fife would think that I was taking the mickey. But Alex and I and Alex's mum last night were talking about Sizzler.
Yeah.
And it was very weird that this came up today. And we're talking about the bread. So I tried to make it.
Yeah.
So I buttered both sides of the bread with heaps of butter, put it in the fry pan. Fried it up, but then I cracked an egg in the middle because I just wanted to have a little bit of an egg as well.
That's eggy bread.
Yeah, I know, but I just wanted I was trying to get the taste on the outside.
Mm.
So I fried it up, put a bit more butter in. But Alex was saying it might be deep fried, that bread.
No.
They might have dipped
it. They do is they whip the butter with the Parmesan cheese in it.
Sweet Jesus.
See, I didn't,
Put it on the grill.
But I made it last night. I literally made it.
You made it.
Yeah, and it actually tasted pretty nice.
Can buy it made at the supermarket.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, just it's already done.
A former Sizzler employee.
That was amazing.
That.
Mine was like an old frog in the hole. You know those ones, that bread, but I try to make the cheesy bread with the egg in the middle.
Oh, frog in the hole, what's that?
Yeah.
That's with the egg in the middle.
The egg in the middle.
Not the sausage?
You cut the hole.
Oh, sausage.
God. When do you put the sausage in the hole?
Well, there's no sausage in
there. Sausage in the
hole. This is starting to sound like some weird euphemism.
What's wrong with you? I'm talking about food.
Guys, I mean, let's not lose track. This is a serious topic.
Oh, my God.
We're losing Sizzler, and all you guys can do is tacky jokes. I mean, this is serious.
Well, okay, they're not tacky. Thanks very much, okay? This is what gives us a rating spike.
Bruce in Wandsworth. Hi, Bruce.
How you going, guys?
Oh, Bruce, sad day for Sizzler.
Let's all get something right. Smorgies is so much better than bloody Sizzler. Sizzler can go away with the wind. We need Smorgies back.
Wow. Well, what's so good about Smorgies, Bruce? What did that have? What kind of bread did Smorgies have?
Well, the one at Ringwood had volcanoes at the front door.
I do remember that.
Bruce, I'm with you, mate. The one in Geelong had Salty the Seal, who used to do a rap about Gary Ablett Sr.
Actually, that is very hard to beat.
And also, when you're eating dessert, anyone remember the Jell-O cups? You used to empty, like, you finish your Jell-O cups and try and stack them to the roof.
Oh, like when you're at the cricket and you finish your beers and you make a cup of a snake cup.
Exactly.
I do that with my sushi train plates.
There we go.
Mr. Favola, we've never seen so many plates in our life.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Before you're a parent, and Dave, you're a new parent, but we're all parents here in this room, you imagine the kind of parent you're never going to be. Like you watch a show like Dance Moms or Toddlers and Tiaras and you go, that's never going to be me. Something happened on the weekend. I'm not proud of it, but I went, oh dear, I think that I might be becoming that mum because Trix went to a little 4-year-old birthday party, and it was arts and crafts. So all the little kids, they're so gorgeous, sitting around with their smocks on. And then the lady who's running the class, the party, she says, right, guys, we're going to paint pencil boxes. So she passed out all these pencil boxes.
What? That's a sweatshop.
Yeah. Didn't look like it from time to time.
We've got to get them done by 5 p.m. today, guys. We're going to ship these out.
And then she gave paints and brushes, and then they had little things to stick on their boxes. Anyway, I was standing behind Trix, and I love this because this is where I imagine this is the right thing as a parent is let your child run, do whatever they want. It's just
I'm already so far ahead of you.
We could have ended this about 3 minutes ago.
I don't want to ruin what's happening. But were you trying to control the situation by any chance, Fifi?
So she had her little brush and she was painting one side of it and then moved it around to paint the other side, but she hadn't finished. So I was like, Sweetheart, you missed the edges. And then she just ignored me and then she was doing it. So then I said to the teacher, is there another brush? Can I just grab a brush? So then I started just fixing what she was doing because I was just doing the edges that she was missing. And then it was funny because they had all these little bits of glitter and little stars to stick on and she just was like throwing them on, like not even putting them in an order.
That's what kids do, Boxy.
Yeah, but little Zoe next to her, she was doing it in sort of shapes.
Oh, no, here it is. Another kid's better than Trixie at something.
Oh, my God. Amateurs, this is Shades of Pearl. That girl is doing it better than you. Think about that, Fiona.
No, but I was just giving her suggestions. Darling, why don't you decorate in a shape around the edge so it looks nice and neat? And then I watched as my hand was picking up the sequins and doing it. And I went, no, I'm not. I don't want to be this mum. But I'm worried I am. I am going to be that mum.
You are.
I'm going to do her homework for her. I'm going to finish things for her.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to, though.
See, I don't have that problem, guys, because I try to help my kids and they say, Dad, we're heaps smarter than you. Please do not interfere.
Didn't you try to read a book to Lulu and then she corrected you on the pronunciation?
Well, that's exactly right, Dave. I was reading a book to my beautiful 6-year-old at the time and I pronounced a word wrong and she went back to it and said, this is how you pronounce it.
Yeah, it's done.
Right, Dad. And it only had 6 words on the page.
But Fief, I mean, seriously, Fief, I've got to back you in because Zephyr, my son, we like to go down to Legoland down near San Diego and they have these Legoland building contests with all the kids. And I noticed we were at this competition and it was like a toddler. This kid couldn't even talk and he looked like he built some sort of fortress. And I'm thinking, there's no way that kid built that. That didn't happen. And I could see, I can see a parent there building for the kid. And I thought, well, we can't be having this.
Did you say
and so
to
I
Zephyr-
built the best...
Did you say to Zeph, just do the 44 presidents, please?
Yeah, well, he does reel off the 44 presidents, but he's not great with some of that more kind of arts and crafts stuff. So anyway, we built this amazing thing. When I say I built this great thing. He won, and he won a certificate, and then Legoland tweeted about him. I built that, but, he won.
Legoland tweeted it. 13, 10, 60. Okay, Byron, you fessed up. I have. Fess up. What have you done for your kids? What were they supposed to do, and you actually did it? Because you're a bit of a control freak and you've only just discovered this like myself.
We had one of these student slash mums at my primary school.
What do you mean?
Well,
they were doing everything for the kids.
You do all these stuff. I'd go in with like toilet paper wrapped up with like, you know, when you just draw on the toilet paper with eyes and stuff. They'd come in with these volcanoes and all this clay and what, paper mache. And I'm like, there's no way that that kid did that. Like, I'm pretty talented. That kid's not.
Yeah, when
they want everything.
When they're controlling, like Fifi Box or Demir Dokic. Do you know what I mean? They've got that kind of flavor about
them. And I literally, I don't remember too many kids from primary school. I remember that girl's name and I remember the mum's name. In my head.
Well, you're going to don't name them, shame them.
Never forget cheaters.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Found myself on the weekend, I was just saying, at an arts and crafts party. And I just had to help Tricks. I couldn't resist picking up a paintbrush and just helping her paint the pencil box. And then I just got a bit crazy with the glitter myself, going, I could probably improve this. And it's not, you're supposed to let your kids, she's just turned four. You're not supposed to be good at this.
Yeah, but all the other kids are four too.
Yeah, and why help? It's a pencil box.
Well, don't get me started. The teacher at one stage said, turn over the box and write your name on it. And like Beth and Zoe wrote their names. And Trixie did a T, and then so cute, she just did a squiggle because she knows that she's got to do a word, but she doesn't know how to spell her name. Should she know how to spell her name?
Well, I mean.
Oh no, what have I done? I've even taught her how to spell her name.
She's too busy watching Neighbours repeats.
Oh, what's happened?
I do like that. You haven't taught her spelling, but you have taught her how to put glitter on the corner of a pencil box.
Oh no. Jackie in Werribee. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Jackie. Just a quick question. Should you be able to spell your name at four?
It depends. It depends if it's a long one or a short one, I think.
Yeah,
short
or if it's got X's
it's
in it.
It's a real short one.
X's are hard.
See, this is where this is where I'm ahead of the bunch.
Oh, really?
Lulu, just two letters.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Good.
Lenny and Mia.
Oh, well done, Fev.
And to be honest,
I got Brendan as a kid. I struggled to year eight.
And to be honest, that's the only reason he accepted this job, because Fifi's really easy to spell. It's easy to write down on my CV. Oh,
Fifi, Dave and Greg. Easy.
Jackie.
Yeah, Greg is... Let him start it.
Jackie, continue. What are you fessing up to? A bit of ashamed that you've done something for your kids?
Yes, I do my kids' school projects, and I can always pull an A or a B. Always.
How old are they, Jackie?
Sorry, I've got an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Oh, jeez.
So Jackie, you're blatantly doing the whole project.
Yep.
What do they think?
Oh, my son actually prefers it. He likes it. He just sits there and does whatever on his phone while I do all the hard work.
My
daughter, though, she does get a little bit upset at me.
Jackie, are you concerned that they're not necessarily learning anything whilst you're getting A-pluses?
Sometimes I do try to summarise the work for them, just so if they get asked anything by the teacher, they can always answer a question or something.
Jackie, this is amazing, and I don't approve at all, but I rate Jackie owning it. Well done. That's just saying it. This is what I'm doing.
Fantastic. Yep.
Wow, Jackie. Fev's looking at me because he thinks I'll be doing Trixie's projects.
Yeah, you've just now that someone else is doing it, you go, well, it's fair game.
But I tell you
what, you're thinking in your head.
Fev, I'd pay good money if she does do the projects and she only gets landed with a D. I'd be like, Doxie!
Hayley in Narre Warren. Hi, Hayley.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Hayley. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Now, Hayley, is somebody doing your work for you, your mummy or your daddy?
My mum does it for me, and she it to look the best, so she does it.
Hayley, do you tell your mum, I'm supposed to be doing this?
Nah, it's kind of easy.
It is kind of easy.
Sure.
Hey, H, but when you go to school and you know you haven't done it, do you feel bad or do you feel, no, I'm going to get a good mark?
Good mark.
Great. Yeah, no, look, we're just being honest here. I mean, this is happening. Why?
It is happening. I didn't realise. Honestly, I just got the glitter pen out. I didn't think this was really becoming this blatant. Thank you, Hayley, for ringing in. Clarissa from Berwick. Hi, Clarissa.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, Clarissa. Come on, fess up. What have you done?
Well, my mum used to enter all the colouring competitions for us and try and win all the prizes.
Whoa, like what were the prizes?
In the newspaper and everything. One was like a box of free, like, twisties, and then some were, like, textures. And then one year she won us, like, a competition, and we actually went in, and it was, like, this lunch, and the premiere of Monsters, Inc.
Whoa. So they were competitions for kids.
Yeah.
And your mum was doing... This is what you were talking about, Fev.
This is what happens.
This is.
But then they get the poor... Clarissa has to go up at the premiere and they say, oh, can you do a quick little drawing for us? Where's the popcorn?
Now, this one, I guess we probably should have expected this call, Fiona. Yes. It appears to be your daughter, Trixie, on the line.
Hello, darling.
Good morning, Fiona.
What do you want?
Oh, I think you know what I want, my phobie. Yes. Telling all these stories. Oh, I'm reaching over, I'm making it look better. Please. You're like a really bad version of Brushes with Arndt. Like, my God. You and a paintbrush? You can't even put that stuff together. I had to make excuses for people around me. I'm so sorry about that. She's not all there. She's had a couple of martinis. But... Now, I like it how you're like, oh, I had to come in and fix this. Oh, yeah, I get that. It's not like in the family you're the first one to do that, because let's be honest, look at your Instagram account. I swanned in and bang, fixed that up, didn't I? Anytime my kiss is on that, you're getting 4,000 likes. I can't spell, but I know how many hits I got. Boom, peace out, bitches.
Thank you very much, Trixie, on the Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Very exciting day here in our family because one of our very own, our very beloved, Dave Thornton, is hitting primetime television tonight. Channel 9, 7:30.
Jeez. Good start.
I'm usually very good at this, Dave. Can I go again? Give me one more chance.
Hey, Leon, he's our new producer here. Can you not send this grab to any of the PR at Channel 9?
Edit point. Channel 9, 7:30, 20 to 1 is back. Brand new host, Dave Thornton, Erin Molan. Cannot wait to see what you're going to do on the telly tonight, Thordo.
It will be interesting because we've filmed it over the last few months, and here's a little Easter egg for the fans. You can watch it to see Thornton in a suit with his hair plastered down looking like a slimy real estate agent. So that should be fun for everyone watching.
Were you not happy with the hair? Do you think they got it in the makeup room?
I wasn't happy with my hair, if I've got to be honest.
Well, Schnooksy said you look great.
You suit a lift in your hair. You want some hair, some volume in there.
I agree with you. Where were you in that fight? But you know what's extremely interesting? Because Erin Molan's the host of the NRL footy show, and she's on Channel 9 News a lot. She's a sports reporter. So a lot of people north of the Murray know her. And with me, I'm a kid from Melbourne, so people south of the Murray know me. But the thing is, I realise they're NRL fans. They're not happy they don't know me. They're always just like these promos, like, who the hell is that? Stop being so aggressive and just sit down to your Cronulla Sharks game, all right? Leave me alone.
Well, don't worry, we were watching the Manchester, the concert last night, and we're all in our room because we were a bit scared, all the kids were a bit scared, so we all slept in the room. Lenny and Lulu, oh my God, that's Dave. Commercial come on, and they're like, we need to record that. I said, we'll be watching that.
Live.
I cannot wait. 20 to 1. It's actually a really good show. I really enjoy watching it.
Yeah, because you go back through memory lane, you go, oh, yes.
What's the topic tonight? Are you allowed to give that away?
Well, don't be like that. I don't know. There'll be a lot of countdowns, guys. Just get involved.
You know, well, speaking of countdowns and memory lane, we thought the best thing to do to celebrate and send you off on this wonderful journey tonight.
Oh, 20 greatest gags of Thorno. Here we go. Strap in. You are welcome, listeners.
Okay. Almost. So in honour of Lord debut on 21 tonight.
What do we got?
Channel 9, 7:30. This is Thorno's, well, you know it's radio, Dave, so it's a 5 to 1 because we can only afford to get 5 in. But I know you wanted some best gags. Best gags. We thought collectively as a team are best clangers. Yeah. So in at number one, now you know.
In at number one, you go five down.
Start at five. What sort of format is this?
Now remember,
I'm not any part of this, by the way, Dave.
What do you mean? This may seem like a roast.
What do you mean, clangers?
Okay. In at number five, who could forget? I mean, you are the king of impersonations, Dave. You nail every voice that we ever challenge you with.
Of course it
is. There was that one time, though, when you told us you could do a good Elvis.
I could do Elvis for you.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as well as I could have.
No.
Okay. I can see the look in Boxy's eyes. The further I went, the more she's like, I'm going to lacerate him.
This is so good. Then
So that's five now. Is it four more to go?
Strap yourself in, Dave.
Dave, there was that time when Dancing with the Stars.
Stop crying, mate.
That's so funny. Dancing with the Stars had just announced their new judge. You may be familiar with Adam Garcia.
I wasn't.
Tap Dogs. He was in the movie Coyote Ugly, an established dancer who was joining the show as a judge. Dave misunderstood and thought he was a contestant.
Oh, no. You got to be odds on favourite for this thing because I know you can dance. We all know you can.
I know.
I was reading it going, that's not fair. This bloke's going to kill it. Feb, you should have seen his face. It's like, has anyone done research here?
Dave, there was another time when we had the wonderful, our good mate, Pete Hellier in the studio to celebrate his 40th. And we arranged, and Fev, you weren't here at the time, I must make this clear.
I haven't been here for any of them.
No, I know. Yeah, I know.
Well, this may explain why you got the call up, mate, because I was making too many mistakes.
Okay, Fev, wait for it. We all had a plan where we were going to blindfold Pete Hellier and walk him out onto Clarendon Street and take off the blindfold. Ta-da, he's a Ferrari. So we had him in the studio, and can I point out before we play this, Dave had the blindfold in his hand, so he knew what was about to happen, and then this happened.
4-0. Yes, I'm 40.
I was trying to build up to what an incredible occasion to share it with us on your birthday morning.
So we got a Ferrari out the front. It's going to be Pete. You.
Hang on. He's holding a blindfold.
It wants to be a surprise.
Oh, well, there we go.
And that's not number one?
And that's Jesus, one more? Okay, then, what the hell have I done wrong?
Then there was another time we were doing my 21st, Dave. You recall, I had my 21st just a couple of years ago. And you, as a surprise, arranged for Kylie Minogue to sing at my 21st. Now, this was a surprise. She was on Voice Disguiser because I was supposed to pick who she was. Dave forgot about the surprise element again. Now, wait for it, because before Kylie speaks, there's a pause where the panel operator had to quickly get her off Voice Disguiser. So there's just a lull when everyone panicked.
We have a very special guest here. Kylie Minogue.
What? Kylie?
You do?
Oh my goodness, Kylie! Are you?
Yes, it is.
It's actually... How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good.
Pete was out the front with a Ferrari. Still looking for whoops. Hey, wait, are you doing this to help promote my show tonight?
It's just the longest segment we've ever done.
It's just a bit of fun, though, because from time to time, and let's hope this doesn't happen on primetime Channel 9 tonight, every now and then, Thorno, you just have an occasional stroke.
For all those kids out there, if you count...
Can you count past
your fingers... You could probably get a commercial radio job.
There you go. Yeah.
Good on him.
Good luck, my friend. Have fun tonight.
That's 20 to 1.
Good to have a team behind
tonight you. On Channel I'm 9, you, definitely Channel 9 at 7:30.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Now, guys, I don't know if you've heard of a little social media platform called Instagram, but the little photo of Brendan Favola and myself power playing the sports bar and owning the entire joint yesterday.
Oh, yeah, we did.
No one else was there.
Basketball.
Buds and ribs.
That's right. We went down. We watched the basketball. God bless America. Now, Byron, you're over in LA. That time difference is great for us. They play sport in the middle of the day.
Yep.
I just want to put it on record. It's also really good for me. I'm doing the breakfast show from LA at 4 in the afternoon. So, you know, we can keep this as a permanent deal if you like.
There's no need to say that. But yeah, anyway.
Don't derail the break, mate.
Dave highlighted that I was here, so I'm just giving you some extra facts.
Now, Fee, yes. Anytime there's a major sporting event on, be it the Super Bowl, be it Grand Prix, yes. Be it AFL, be yep. it the NBA Finals,
mm-hmm.
you act like you're a clairvoyant. And then
act?
You know. Oh, you are, eh?
You know I am, and I
prove it to
you time
and time again. Well, if you're real clairvoyant, what am I thinking
again?
Right now?
You hate me.
Yeah!
Wow, that's scary.
How did you know that? Now, I feel like an idiot for telling you all the parameters of the NBA final, because you know how many games they play, being a clairvoyant.
Yeah, 7 out of 7. Seven well, games.
Well, they need to win four. One team needs to win four
yes,
out of
you're
seven.
Right.
Best out of seven.
Best out of that's seven.
And you got it.
And it is between...
Kevin... the Cavs.
Yep.
And the Warriors.
The Warriors.
The Wizards. Because now you mentioned Washington Wizards the other day, and that got me all excited about Wizards. And now we're doing the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, that's right. And the Golden State Warriors are 2-0 up, aren't they, Fiv?
Yes, they are. But that was on their home court. Now it goes to Cleveland.
You know what's going to happen. Because I know what's going to happen.
Oh, okay.
Cavs to win the NBL Premiership.
Okay, it's NBA.
Well, it'd be pretty hard because that's an Australian basketball league. So
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, how good would they be if they were in the NBL? They would dominate. The Cleveland Cavs would probably beat the Wollongong Hawks.
Imagine bringing them back. They can play for the Tassie Devils. LeBron down there at the exhibition centre.
Cleveland's going to win the whole lot.
Do you know what? If I'm to be really honest, my sentimental leaning is to the Golden Gate. Don't. I love them.
The Golden Gate. That's down the road in South Melbourne.
That's a bridge.
Oh, my God.
In San Francisco.
Can we have on record? Yeah. Who do you think's going to win?
I.
Don't go mixing your thoughts up now.
She said it.
I
She's
hope
said it.
Golden State do,
but
the Cavs will win.
Okay. There it is.
That's the psychic prediction. That's the official psychic prediction.
But
the
I'm
Cavs
allowed to
win.
Prefer Golden State.
No, you're not. It's either one or the That's not how clairvoyance
like
work.
I knew the Bulldogs would win the premiership last year. Like, I've known that Rafa and Federer, I always know who's going to win. And yet, even Djokovic, I've picked it every year, Fev. You've heard all the audio grabs. You believe I'm psychic.
So yeah, well, you said the Cavs, so we'll, in about a week's time, we'll come back here.
Excellent.
And we'll see where you're at.
And if you lose,
yeah.
Byron, I think if you there's got to be something on it. What, a nudie run?
No, psychics don't. Don't work like that.
I don't think psychics do nudie runs if they're wrong, but
I think they should. Right, Jonathan Kane would be a lot more on the Herald Sun if he did some nudie runs if it didn't work out.
Every Fifi Day Fev and Byron catch up needs to have big laughs in it. And every kids' party needs to have Whiz Fizz at it. It's not a party without Whiz Fizz.